We are on today for Administrative Docket 0629. We have Justices Pickering and Lee joining us from Las Vegas. Justice Kadish is unavailable to be here during the hearing, but she is going to review everything and then participate in our discussions about the proposed amendments. And I know we've received a number of written comments from various individuals, and I know we have, I believe, Justice Pickering, we have some speakers down in Las Vegas, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And we have some folks up here. I know Mr. Trachok wants to speak as well. At this time, I will go ahead and turn it over to Rick, and you can come on up and let us know everything we need to know.
Thanks, Chief. I'm not used to coming up here in jeans and without a tie. My apologies. Chief, thanks for setting up this hearing, and members of the court, we all thank you very much for all the work you've done in this long process. We provided a copy, a red line outline of the proposed rule changes and the existing rules just to help the members of the court work their way through it. Most of the changes have to do with supervised practice, and we did a lot of house cleaning on the rules as we went through. We have John Desmond, we have Leah Grindwald, and we have Barbara Buckley here today, both in Carson and in Las Vegas. And so I thought what would be best is Sydney Lindsay, who's also down south, can answer any specific questions that members of the court might have. And then John and Leah and Barbara then would be able to answer those specific questions having to do with the supervised practice. Barbara and Lynn Fullstone, who couldn't make it today, and John were the ones who worked overtime on making this a reality. I'm available to answer any questions about the multiple choice portion of the exam. Debbie Merritt and Joan Howarth and I met last Friday with the California Board of Bar Examiners and their executive director. And so after all the questions on the ADKT, I'm happy to answer any questions to update the court on the result of that meeting. So with that, I will answer questions, or I'll be the traffic director and direct the questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Trachok at this moment?
None from Las Vegas, Chief.
Okay. You want to have Sydney? Well, get Sydney up?
Yes.
Okay. Justice Pickering, could you ask Sydney to go ahead and come up?
Yes. May it please the court. I'm Sydney Lissy. I'm the Director of Admissions for the State Bar of Nevada, and I'm happy to answer any questions that the court has.
Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Lissy?
Chief, this is Justice Lee. Just how are we coming along with the formation of the multiple choice questions? And can you explain, just for the record, how those are being compiled?
So we're on track for, we're having a handoff with our vendor to give a pretest in January, 2 weeks in January. So we are on track for the first batch of multiple choice questions. They're vetted and ready to go to that first pretest experience. A little bit about the development. We have 13 subject matter experts from around the country who have spent the last several months drafting these questions. And they went through several layers of editing. So it was between the subject matter experts among themselves reviewing the questions and the content. Then it went to the broader subject matter expert group so that people who are not familiar with that subject were also looking at it and giving their feedback. And then Debbie and Joan, as the chair of that task force, are giving the final review to those questions for publishing on the pretest. Once it goes through the pretest, all of the data from the questions will go to our psychometrician for analysis and any additional editing that has to be completed to make sure that they perform up to the psychometric standards.
And do you know how many questions in total will be kind of ruled out in that first tranche?
We don't know how many will be ruled out. I mean, the hope is that they're all successful. So we will have five different exam forms with 210 questions across those forms. We have 400 to 450 pretesters to get a sufficient number of amount of quantity and data on the performance of those questions. We hope they all are good, but if not, we have enough that any of them that have to be kicked out or reworked will have enough for that 100 question real FLE exam in May.
And I know this probably goes without saying that I'm sure we have your assurances that none of these questions are being generated by any type of AI device, given what happened.
Let me address that. To answer your question, Justice Lee, we're not having AI draft any of the questions. What we are using with one of our consultants, ProMetric, we're using an AI tool that is helping us review the questions, making sure that all of the four answers in the multiple choice questions are what we would expect them to be, two fairly close, one correct, and then other two not as close. The tool that we're using, or that ProMetrics uses the seven foundational subjects, the 20 principles for each of these subjects, and all of the sub-principles, and the actual rules and the holdings, which is 85 pages that's on our website now that we prepared. And that's the universe that this tool uses. But the tool doesn't do the drafting. And I've sat through the session with ProMetrics to see how it works. So once the question's drafted, it's run through through ProMetrics, comes back with the comments. Then the subject matter expert rewrites the question, and the final questions that we will provide are written by human beings. Again, the tool helps us with making sure that the answers that have been provided fit the requirements for a high-stakes multiple-choice exam.
Thank you.
How does this is Justice Pickering, how does the replenishment work as this moves forward? In other words, you've alluded to 400 questions, and as we move forward, how are those weeded out, and what is the number per year that will be introduced to replenish that pool?
The goal is to have a bank of 1,000 questions, and the questions will be rotated off once we reach the full build-out based on the reliability, as indicated by our psychometricians, both during the beta tests, but also during the actual exam. So, Justice Pickering, our intention is to make sure that we always have an existing bank of 1,000 questions, so we'll continue rotating as we go forward, so that we have a large number of questions to draw on, since we'll be offering four exams at 100 questions per exam.
And then to follow up, what protocols will be in place to review the answers that are given to these questions when the test is actually administered, for cross-checking that they're not producing some kind of a statistically aberrant response that suggests there's a problem with them? In other words, if everybody on the test is getting a particular question wrong, what are you going to do to identify that and then weed those out?
So it'll be the same process that the NCB has used in the past with the MBE questions. So we have the same team who's signed up with us for the long haul, because we'll always be creating new questions. And we rely on our psychometricians to give us the feedback on any one of those questions that is, as you your question suggests, that there was one that too high of a percentage of the takers got the question wrong. And so they will, just like the NCB does, that's why you have a raw score, and then you have a scale score from the National Conference on the MBE. We will follow those same protocols, adjusting them as we find necessary with the exam.
And who are you using to do that review? Are you using the same people that the MBE used or somebody different?
Well, some of the people that we are using came from the NCBE, and in terms of the people who are doing the review of the questions would be the other members of the team. Remember, we have two subject matter experts that are writing their questions in their area, with Joan and Debbie filling in, Joan with evidence in, Debbie with evidence and Joan with torts.
Sorry, I think I was unclear. I meant the psychometrician that will be reviewing the statistical performances for anomalies that suggest a problem with the questions. Is that the same entity or person that reviews the MBE, or is that somebody different? And if it's different, who is it?
Those are our two psychometricians, Chad and Drew, the same ones Nevada's been using, I think, probably for the last 7-8 years, and also the same two psychometricians that California is using.
Okay, thank you very much, Rick.
Uh-huh.
Anybody have any other questions for Mr. Trashok or Ms. Lissy? I did have one question. I know there was some discussion previously, and I believe Mr. Desmond and Ms. Buckley submitted a letter jointly. So I'm assuming the bar doesn't have an issue with legal aid's request to add sections B and C under the residency requirement on 49.1F. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I do have one question. Yep. If it's relevant here. This is going to start in 2028.
No, the last iteration of the current bar exam will be July of 2026.
Okay, wonderful. What will be the look-back period in the sense that somebody who signs up there, how far back will you look to look for their supervised practice component? Could somebody presumably have done supervised practice not in a law school but get credit for it? Like, is there going to be a look-back period from that July 2026 to capture people who may have graduated law school and, you know, in some, I don't know, some amount of time preceding the change in the bar exam?
So if I understand the question, and I think Sydney and John and Barbara down south would be able to answer it more specifically, but if somebody has practiced for 6 months under the proposed rule, then they don't have to satisfy the supervised practice component. So if you have somebody who's graduating in 27, sitting for an exam in 27, they already have notice of the supervised practice component. If they've taken a clinical program at their school, they would then submit to our admissions office, this is the program, and then we would take a look at it to make sure that it meets all of the requirements we're looking for, meeting with a client and the other requirements in the supervised practice to make sure those were satisfied. And then the determination would be made, yes, that clinical program that you attended satisfies, or no, it doesn't. But they'll have time anyway to satisfy it in the summer after their graduation.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I just ask one more question? Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask one last question in terms of the MPT portion of the exam. Will that just be generated and administered as it always has been, except for there'll be more of them?
Yes, there'll be one more. It'll be drafted by our board, and our board will grade it just like we're grading now. We have the procedures in place to make sure we have reliability from exam to exam and within the exam, so we work together with our two psychometricians on that. So the change for the bar examiners, there's a lot of changes, but one of the biggest changes will be we'll do a third NPT, and we will not be drafting essay questions going forward. The last essay questions will be July of 26.
All right. Ms. Buckley down south, did you wish to speak?
They're coming forward, Chief.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court. For the record, my name is Barbara Buckley. I'm the Executive Director of Legal Aid Center Southern Nevada, and I've been honored to be on this court's task force for a couple few years now. I speak strongly in support of the amendments contained in the ADKT. I have enjoyed being part of and learning about the new FLE process, which I think is going to be much more streamlined, tailored, and appropriate for our state. Support the continued use of our practice exams, which have worked well, and can't wait for the advent of supervised practice. We have been preparing, as has the William S. Boyd School of Law. Dean Grinvald is also on the committee and here today. At Legal Aid Center, we've been fortunate enough to hire Jim Birchtold back to us. Jim, as you, some of you may know, founded and opened the Civil Law Self-Help Center, as well as our guardianship project, and he's going to head up supervised practice for us. And so we are actively planning. There will be many paths that students and law graduates can take. If they haven't taken a wonderful clinic like that offered by the Boyd School of Law, they can do externships with our public sector offices and with legal aid offices. In addition, our legal aid offices are creating partnerships between our lawyers and the students and the graduates. We are also matching pro bono lawyers with pro bono cases and these students and graduates. We plan on reaching out to every firm that has summer associates, for example, and having this become part of the new landscape so that when our law students and actually graduate and see their first paying client, it will not be the first time they've represented a client. And that is our goal with supervised practice. So we are laying the groundwork, and all we're waiting for are the rules. We will launch as in January of 2026. We are ready, and we look forward to working with the bar, our partners, and with this court to make this entire program a national model. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Ms. Buckley?
Chief, this is Justice Lee. Thank you so much, Ms. Buckley, for coming to speak today. And we're really excited that you'll be at the helm when these aspiring attorneys come for supervised practice. I know they'll be in good hands. I did receive a letter regarding the residency requirement under the rules. Did you want to say anything about that in the record? I just got the letter recently. I didn't know if you wanted to say anything. It's a letter authored by yourself and Mr. Desmond.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. The issue of this minor amendment to the rule was recently brought up to the Access to Justice Commission, where it received a unanimous vote of support. And just very quickly, these restrictions were never in the rule previously until the great rewrite happened in 2019 in order to try to make all types of practice like the corporate counsel, general counsel, similar. Well, we got caught up in some of that amendment process. We're suggesting this change. It's minor, but it will be critically important. For example, if we have an attorney who, and we just recently had this happen, their husband got transferred to California. They wanted to keep one case. It was a children's case they had handled for years. They wanted to wrap it up. They were unable to because the current rules said those lawyers acting as emeritus lawyers have to live in the state of Nevada. Similarly, Dave Spitzer from Northern Nevada Legal Aid has an attorney that lives in a border town. anxious to fill a position he's had long vacant, we can't because of this rule. So it's a small change, but it will help the legal aid organizations and the pro bono effort immensely. And we were very happy that it received unanimous support for this court's consideration.
Thank you.
Anybody else? No? All right, Ms. Buckley, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate your participation in all of this.
Thank you.
Dean Grinvall, did you want to speak? Yeah.
Yes, she's coming forward.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice, Justices. For the record, my name is Leah Chan Greenwald, and I am the Dean and the Richard J. Morgan Professor of Law at the William S. Boyd School of Law. And just like with Ms. Buckley, it's been an honor to serve on the court's commission and task force. In fact, I started on it before I was official on at Boyd Law, jumping in as I was transitioning with Dean Gordon, interim Dean Gordon at the time. And it's just been a really terrific process. I just want to commend the court for the thoughtfulness that has gone into both the substance, but the process by which the various task forces, the commission were put together. I think that the membership has been just representative and diverse, and the members themselves have been a joy to work with. As the dean of the law school, Mr. Trey Chalk mentioned that, and Ms. Buckley as well, that we are looking forward to the changes in the bar exam. I believe during the public comment period when the court was thinking about whether to adopt the Nevada plan, several of our students submitted written comment. So you know our students are quite enthused about the changes. A little nervous, of course, because, you know, change is daunting regardless of it being welcome or not. But, you know, we are, as a faculty and as an institution, committed to providing our students with the support and resources they need, both for, you know, the FLE supervised practice while in law school, as well as the Nevada performance test after graduation. Our, you know, as Ms. Buckley mentioned, we have a variety of different clinics. I've been in long discussions with our Thomas and Mack Legal Clinic about what other types of clinics we can offer. In fact, the faculty just approved last week a new clinic where students will work with the Clark County Public Defender's Office as a legal residency, actually modeled after the partnership we have with Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada for our tenants' rights legal residency. And so that's just one of hopefully many new clinics that we'll be able to offer that focus on serving real clients. And so that, as you know, it's a bit of a byword that we want to graduate practice-ready graduates, and now we can actually say we will be graduating practice-ready graduates. So I'm happy to answer any questions that the court may have.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Dean Grinvall?
Sorry, I have so many questions all the time. hello, Dean. This is Justice Lee. I just wanted to know, like, how are the students going to study for this exam? I worry about that because, yeah, you know, traditionally you take a Barbary course, you you go through the rote recitation and do 100 million,
right,
you know, practice tests, yeah, that have been given before. And so, since this is new, how are the students going to study for this exam?
That's a great question. And that is absolutely something that we're working on in a variety of ways. So one, you know, the traditional method, you know, having a Barbary or Themis course, they have reached out to us and they are interested in creating a, you know, boot camp or, you know, shorter version of a bar, you know, prep class. Obviously, it'd be shorter version just focused on the FLE. And then later on the performance tests, because it's going to be similar, you know, and you've heard about the process by which the FLE is being written. It is extremely similar to how the MBE is written right now by the NCBE. So, you know, them sort of shifting gears and focusing on prep material for the FLE isn't going to be a big change for them. But it will be, they're incentivized, obviously, because they want to keep some business from Nevadans and those outside of Nevada who take the Nevada bar exam. But also, too, the beauty of the design of the FLE is that it is offered right after, the semester after, the students finish up the 7 required classes. And so what we're doing is we're making sure that students are taking the 7 required classes within those first 3 semesters. The first year is not changing. It's similar to, you know, when we all went to law school, you know, you have your required classes. And then the third semester, your first fall of your 2L year, it's not a requirement, but they're channeled into taking those classes in that those are really the only times they're scheduled. So we don't tell you it's a requirement, but it'll be hard for you. You can choose not to take them. It'd be hard for you to find those classes that year if you want to take the FLE. And many students, obviously, are going to want to take the FLE, you know, check that box, right, and move on. And also give themselves, you know, enough time to take it if in fact they fail. And I think that is the beauty of it, and that's why the students are so overjoyed with having it. So, you know, further to that then, the material will be really fresh in their mind. And, you know, we as a commission looked at, and I would really speak highly of Joan and Debbie's work and national reputation and research into this area, but they really looked into the science of learning, of how students are learning. And it shows that, the science shows that the closer in time and the more repetition you have to when you learn material, the more you retain it and remember it. And so the FLE is still teaching, is still testing memorization in a way. You still have to remember the rules, right? But it'll be easier for the students to remember the rules. And so what we're planning on is coursework as part of that students can take as part of their coursework, so they don't have to pay extra to a Barbary or a Themis if they don't want to. We're working on boot camp series, so weekends where the students can come in and do practice exams, just like you said, you know, run through as many questions as you possibly can before the actual exam. And then what I'm really looking forward to, honestly, is making, you know, having this be a sort of an early warning signal for some students who don't pass it, and both a warning signal for themselves, right, that some students need to fall down in order to say, oh, you know what, I need some help. So they'll reach out, but then also we'll be able to reach out to them, you know, but because right now, you know, we reach out to them after they fail after graduation. And so it's much harder and much more devastating when they fail after graduation. I hope that answers your question.
It does. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Chief?
Anybody else?
The chief, could I add on to that? And thanks, Dean. And Justice Lee, two points to add to what the dean said. Number one is that all of the rules that we'll be testing on are in the 85 pages of the 20 principles, and each of these 7 foundational subjects is on the website now. It's also important to keep in mind that the students will be able to graduate from law school having completed 2 of the 3 components of the bar exam, both the supervised practice if they take a certified clinic and the foundational law exam, because they'll be able to take that starting in their 4th semester. In terms of the Nevada practice exam, because we give the library and because we and this is exactly what we've been doing for the last 10 offerings of the exam, we're going to allow them to take that exam sooner. We have all of the exams on our website now, so students can review those exams, review some sample answers, and because they're not memorizing rules going into it, they have to know them and they have to know how to use them. It lightens the burden considerably for the students that are taking the exam. And that's why we're offering this exam in June and in January. So right after graduation, the examinees can take this last portion of it, and they're ready to go as soon as we grade the exam, which will be a lot sooner than what we've been doing so far.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Chief, I was remiss. Can I say a thank you, sure, not only to the members of the court, because this has been a ton of work for all of you, but I would like to thank, first of all, Sydney Lindsay has done an amazing job with all of the work she's done, not just in her day job, but also in making this happen. And then Dean Grinvald, who joined us on the commission that the court formed many years ago and has been working tirelessly ever since. John Desmond and Lynn Fullstone have done a remarkable job with the supervised practice, which I think was the most complicated part of this puzzle. And then I don't think we could have gotten to where we got now without Barbara Buckley. So I would be remiss if we didn't thank and recognize all of those people.
For sure. Thank you. Are there any other speakers in Las Vegas?
No, Chief, I don't see any. There are others here, but nobody to speak.
Okay. And did Mr. Desmond or anybody else here in Carson City wish to speak? I didn't mean to make you get up, John, but would love to hear from you if you have something to add.
Just briefly, Your Honor, I too want to thank both the court. This has been, as Ms. Buckley and Dean Gridfold and Mr. Trachuk alluded to, it's been a long process. I've been on the Board of Bar Examiners for 20-plus years, Mr. Trachuk. Lynn Fullstone and I have talked about this for a long time. This committee, you know, we've been doing our work for 2-plus years. We first came to you with the ideas, which were approved by this quarter of a year ago. We then sort of shifted our work towards implementation. And we've been meeting really every couple of weeks since then as a committee, putting in a tremendous amount of work, trying to anticipate questions, issues that arise. And the product is now before you in the form of the rule changes. So we thank you for your consideration of the amendments. It's an exciting time, and we're really excited to be where we're at with the bar exam, looking to embark upon it in January, as Ms. Buckley said, with supervised practice. You know, it sort of dawned on me at our September meeting when we were talking about assignments for upcoming exams that the last traditional administration will be in July of next year, less than a year from now. So we really are at a point now where it's real. So we thank the court for their consideration of the rules and look forward to moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. Desmond? Anybody else up here that wishes to speak? Okay. Well, look, I will also thank everybody for all of your work on this undertaking. It's been a long process, for sure. And it has been a massive undertaking that's required a lot of all of you, including your patience with us, as we've kind of sent it back on a couple of occasions with, hey, we want a little more information about this or a concern about that. So getting us to where we are today has been a monumental undertaking that has been done exceptionally well by all of you, including going into the minutia of making the proposed rule changes. And one thing I will say to echo, and I can't remember whose letter it was that was referencing, was it Debbie's? That was referencing people that had reached out to them after their presentation at the Conference of Chief Justices. At the end of that conference, we passed a resolution, and it was probably like 48-4 or 5, something of that nature, because we have a few more than the 50 states, right? We have Guam, we have some other folks there. And the resolution was just, we think our jurisdictions should all look at and investigate alternative ways to admit lawyers to practice. Few folks voted against it because they felt like their jurisdictions wouldn't be supportive of any type of change. Obviously, it was a resolution. It wasn't mandatorily trying to tell people what to do, but I was very impressed and pleased because we had just been propped up, Nevada, through that presentation as having made these changes and going to move forward with a new type of examination to licensed attorneys. And I was very pleased with the number of people that voted in favor of the resolution and had conversations about, what are you guys doing? Tell me about this. How's the supervised practice going to work? I think you're the first in the nation to do that. So when I heard from Rick that California has now said, hey, we may need to raise a white flag a little bit on what we're doing. We'd like to have some meetings with you all. And I did want to ask you to follow up on that, the meeting that you had. I think we're on a really good path. We've turned our trust over to you all, and it's been rewarded. So thank you very much. But how did your meeting go with California, where they were inquiring about what we're doing?
Thanks for asking. We had two meetings with California. First, Debbie, Joan, and I met with Donna Herowitz probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, walking her through. She's the executive director now, stepping in as executive director for the Bar of California. The previous one retired. And then we had a meeting with the full board last Friday, and I was so pleasantly surprised how prepared the members were, and the questions that they were asking were basically, okay, tell us how you did this because we would like to do this. There were questions saying, well, how would we be able to join with you? And so it was more interest than I had expected from that particular board. So Joan, Debbie, and I were very encouraged after the meeting because of the questions they asked. And of course, we really did bring in the very best in the country with Debbie and Joan. And so they were able to, especially with the drafting, how we did it, how the three of us viewed the data from the beta tests that they had done before the fateful or the disastrous rollout last February, and where we shared with them, our takeaway, because we both use the same psychometricians, and so we pointed out what the issues that we saw with that, and explained to them how we've done this and why we won't have those types of issues. And I'd like to reiterate the problems with the California February exam was primarily the administration of the exam. There were some issues with some of the Kaplan questions, but that was minor in comparison. For everybody who was taking the exam both in person and online, what would happen is the system would crash, and that's what was the major problem there. And so we won't have that, and we explained to them that they wouldn't have to worry about it either, because they can do it in testing centers, and if you divide it up into four times a year after the third semester of law school, that will obviate a lot of those administrative in terms of exam administration that they had. And they had very pointed questions on how that would work and how they did it. So I'm encouraged, and I'm cautiously optimistic. It's always nice that Nevada is at the top of the good lists. And right now, I think in this area, we're at the top of a good list.
Very good. All right. Thank you for the update. I appreciate it. Okay.